Welcome to Voting Matters, a series of conversations about the voting process from WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Now, here's your co-hosts, Liza Holland, president of the Lexington chapter of LWV, and WUKY's Alan Lytle.
Welcome back once again to Voting Matters, our podcast with the League of Women Voters. I'm Alan Lytle, and she is Liza Holland. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Alan. How about yourself?
Oh, doing just terrific. We're almost to September, if you can believe it, and that means the countdown to the general election is getting closer and closer.
I know. Somebody yesterday said it's only 70 days, and I was like, ah, how did that happen?
It will be here before you know it, and obviously, between now and then, there's a lot of stuff that's happening with the League, and just give you the floor. What's happening right now?
Oh, League is obviously getting geared up for lots and lots of voter empowerment for the fall. The thing I'm most excited about is a new initiative that we have called Making Voting Social.
Oh.
And it's kind of a 1-2 punch where, you know, we thought we really want to have not only people come out to the polls, but people who are informed about what is on the ballot and all that kind of stuff. So we thought, why not make it an opportunity for a party? So the first part is a democracy potluck, and we're putting kits together so anybody could have it. You know, you could do it with your book club or your faith-based organization, wherever. And then the League's going to have a couple of them, and geared towards just understanding what's on your ballot, who's there, finding ways, you know, where the resources are to be able to get information. We are a completely nonpartisan organization, so this is definitely not a let's tell you who to vote for sort of thing. But I'm real excited about that piece of the puzzle, because the call to action at the end is, why don't we all go together to early voting? We'll have each other to stand in line, all that kind of stuff. And this idea originated from our Global League Committee. So we're going to encourage our immigrant community to really come out. And we're going to have kind of a celebration, democracy celebration, afterwards on the 31st. So one will be Latinx themed, one will be Asian themed, and one will be African themed. And we're partnering with organizations in all those different groups to be able to put it on. And so we're hoping to invite everybody to come out and celebrate the fact that they went out and voted.
Wow, that is great. And that really illustrates the outreach effort that the League does all the time.
I'm really excited about it because, yes, I mean, our bread and butter is all about getting voters registered and making sure that they have a plan and doing get out the vote. But I think that this is a way that we can really try to build community around it, because a lot of times voting is a little singular. You know, maybe you're there with your spouse or something, but this way it's going to be, I'd love to see it be a regular thing, that people know that before the primary they're going to do this, and then, you know, when that happens, and make it a little bit more fun. It's not, you know, yes, it's your civic duty and it's very important, but I think that people will be attracted to this social part of it, so I hope.
Yeah, and let's hope for a good outcome there. And if people want more information about that, where do they go?
Check out our website at lwvlexington.com. We're going to have an entire page, but I'll have a teaser on the front here shortly.
And there will be, as we get closer and closer to the election, there'll be some League-sponsored debates and forums and things of that nature as well. For
absolutely.
Candidates.
That's another good piece. Thank you, Alan, for keeping me on track here. We're excited. We have a UK student who has taken the lead on our candidate forums this year, Trenton Showering. So I'm so excited. He is so incredibly engaged and knowledgeable. So we are doing most all of the down ballot races via Zoom. So you'll be able to see it on YouTube. And we work with other partner organizations to try to spread it far and wide. The pandemic taught us that actually that worked more effectively than having it in person. But then for some of the larger races, we will have a mayoral forum at Transy on October the 7th. We'll have a 6th district forum at UK on the 21st. And then we were supposed to have it at Center, but one of the campaigns said that they would not do it in front of an audience. And so we're going to do an in-studio for the Senate race. I think that's the 19th in cooperation with WUKY. So we'll have lots of good opportunities for people to listen and learn, and that will be televised, you know, all through Gray Network.
Oh, terrific. And, you know, an informed voter is what you really want going to the polls.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
I talked to way too many people who were like, you know, I didn't know anything about the people there, and so I just picked one. You know,
it's like going to the racetrack and picking the gray horse.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, once people are registered, then there is the act of voting itself, and that kind of lends itself to our guest today.
I'm so very excited to have representatives here from the county clerk's office.
Uh-huh.
So Gilda Waters is in charge of a good part of the kind of the mechanics of putting all this together and whatnot. And Susan Lamb is our Fayette County clerk, and she's going to be telling us a little bit more about the safety measures and whatnot, that we have a fabulous system here. So really excited to have you ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Gilda, I'd kind of like to start with you.
Okay.
Because I think that it is much more of a huge procedure to put on elections than most people think. So as we're here in August, you know, obviously we have elections coming up the end of October and November. When does the planning start for all that?
Oh, it started back in June. Yes, we start early. Almost as soon as we finish one, we start the next one.
So what kinds of things are you doing this summer?
So in the summer, we clean up from the previous. After we have the ballots, you know, stored away for the amount of time, we start to clean out the machines. Our vendor comes in and checks all the machines to make sure they're all working and nothing got broken during the previous election. And then we start wondering about how we could have changed things, what new things we can introduce, better ways to teach our election officers, and start to brainstorm for the next one.
Tell me a little bit, because I know that it was poll worker recruitment day not long ago, so we kind of put that out there. Tell us what that involves as far as how many poll workers do you need and what kind of training and
so we
how that
recruit
works.
About 1,100
wow.
Election voters, all of different parties, so we need party parity. We train them on an online training, which is fairly new. We started that new in May, and it's going really well. Then they also come to an in-person class that's more hands-on and specific to their roles. They train for about an hour and a half to 2 hours in person, and then they can take their time doing the online one. You know, it's at home in your pajamas, however you want to do it, a little bit at a time or the whole thing at the same time. It doesn't matter.
I like that so much.
And these 1,100, where do they come from? All over the county? Or?
All over the county, yes. We take volunteers. They go online and register and say they want to do it. And we also, when we need more in a certain location, we'll call people. We'll get a list right off of the system that tells us who's registered to vote, and we'll call them and say, hey, are you interested? We get a lot of no's, but sometimes we get yeses. And it, you know, it comes from all over. Some people walk in and write to our office and say, I did it in my other state, or I did it in my other county, and now I want to do it here. And we're like, sure, come on.
And what does it take to be a poll worker? Obviously, a commitment on their end, but
yes,
what else?
Definitely a commitment. We need somebody who says yes, comes to training, and shows up on election day for sure. It is a long day, so they commit to that very long day. They have to be able to lift 30 pounds or so, because that's the machines they have to move around. Obviously, read and write English. They have to be able to communicate with the voters and show them how to do things. So the commitment of the training, but pretty much anybody can do it. We're not limited to age. You do have to be 18, you know, 18 by the general election, but everybody can do it. We even get attorneys. They get some kind of a credit for some kind of in training. So they become election officers and they get their training, and we get to have attorneys serving as election officers, which is really cool.
Okay, so for people who don't really know, let's tell me about the journey of a ballot. Like, you know, I'm just a bill, but I'm just a ballot.
Sure. So it starts with the candidate filing, which is the day after the election. They start to come in. They file their paperwork. We keep track of all the offices and all the paperwork. We submit it to the Secretary of State. And slowly but surely, it starts to build the ballot, who's running for what. Yesterday was the deadline for all the people that are write-ins, and it's the same day that the Secretary of State will certify the candidates. So yesterday was the seal date. Everybody is set. We put them all in their races, and then our vendor takes over and they create that ballot. Once they create the ballot, the machines get programmed. The ballots get printed. Then we proof all of that first before we send it out. And then it becomes packing it up and getting it ready to go out to all the different locations. Every precinct could be different because they all have different representatives. So the ballots are different for everybody. Once they get out there, they're sealed and sent out to the location. And then the election officers pull them out, hand them the correct ballot to the right voter, and they vote. It goes in that bin. When you scan the ballot, it goes in that bin, stays in the bin for 60 days locked up. And then after the 60 days, we empty it out, box it up, and we keep it for 22 months after that.
Okay. So just in case anybody questions something or whatnot, but you actually have those.
Right. We have the actual ballots. Yes.
Physical ballots. Fabulous.
And what are some of the biggest logistical challenges that your team prepares for when it comes to the ballot?
For the ballot, it's making sure we have all the races that are on the ballot, the right candidates in the right spots, and then making sure that we get the right ballot to the right precinct. Bagging those up, we triple check the ballots, the serial numbers, into the right bag, into the right location tote. And then we tell our election officers, make sure that out of the supply tote, you pull the bag that's for your precinct, the precinct you're assigned to. And so, yeah, the double check, triple check all the way through.
It is amazing how many times these checks are happening and whatnot in between times. What happens if there is a problem at a voting location?
If it's a problem of handing the wrong ballot to a voter, that happens mostly in the primary because you have Republican ballots and Democrat ballots and nonpartisan ballots. But the voter just goes back to the table, says, that's not my ballot. And then they spoil that one and give them another one, issue another one.
So how many different types of ballots would you estimate you have to have for voting in Fayette County?
So for this November election, we have 84 different ballots.
Jeez.
Whoa.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's a combination of all the districts for Senate race and, the local races, the council, all those mix and match into 84 different ballot faces.
That's a lot of pressure. I mean, quite frankly, for poll workers to face. And, you know, this is an important election coming up. So Are you get the sense that there's going to be a little extra pressure because of some of the, you know, say, outside influences about the voting process these days?
Well, I think people are nervous, but we don't see much pushback in Fayette County. I always tell the election officers that the residents of Fayette County are well behaved, and they are. So there's not much, you know, fear. There's no fear.
That's good to hear because, you know, the national media is making it out to be a very scary thing.
Right.
And I just, it's good to hear that things are on an even keel here in wonderful Lexington, which doesn't surprise me at all. But if you're thinking and considering becoming a poll worker, it's really good to know that this is something that is safe. It's something that you can do as a part of your civic duty. Is there any compensation for poll workers?
Yes. They get up to $260.
Hey.
Yep.
So
for working
extra?
That day?
For working, yes. So they get paid a little bit for training, and then they get paid if they're assigned as clerks, they come get supplies, so they get paid like $5 for traveling. And then they get the big one, the $230 for actually serving on election day. So they could make up to $260.
Hey, Christmas is coming up.
That's right.
All those types of things. So
I'd make a
little
joke.
Extra in your...
I'd make a joke. Is that that's better than jury duty, right?
Very true.
It is.
So then there is the issue of securing the ballot. And for that, we turn to Susan.
Yes, indeed, Susan. We want to just talk a little bit more about this trust factor, because unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation floating around the ethos about elections here. And I'd love for you to just kind of go over a little bit, much like you did last time. Thank you so much. But tell us about the safety and security of around our elections. I was just bowled over when I learned it.
Sure. You know, that's the one thing that I'm so proud of that we have in place, and it's across the state of Kentucky. It really is. But we have seals on all of our election equipment. And so once, as Gilda was talking about, once the machines are set, then the seals are attached to our equipment. And so the first thing that happens is that the staff, a small staff of eight, in our office that
woo-hoo, kudos to the staff.
Exactly, yeah. They work so hard. But they go out and they check the seals. And then we have our County Board of Election, who actually, it's a part of our official meeting, and we actually take the County Board of Elections, our two commissioners, and our sheriff or sheriff's representative out to our warehouse, and we actually go through and have to double check every seal on every equipment that's out in our warehouse, which there's probably over 400 machines, different machines. And then so we do that, and then it gets checked again. Once the election officers, once the machines are at the voting location, the election officers check it again. So all of these seals are set to where that they're showing that the machines are secure, they're closed, they're locked, and especially where the ballots go in the scanner, and then the ballot goes down into the depth of the box, and that's really exciting to know that. We don't disclose the location of our election warehouse. That's something that we take very seriously, and we are very careful about that. We have a full-on security system out there with cameras and everything, too. And we have things down at our office under the same situation with our poll pads. Everything is under security. It's exciting because our County Board of Election is, we have our Democrat commissioner and we have our Republican commissioner, and they go through and they see every single thing that we go through the process of inspecting all the machines. So it's, and everything's party parity. We never have just two Democrats or two Republicans on one machine. Everything in our office is party parity, which is so important. So
that's phenomenal. And I don't know of any other system that is subject to that kind of, you know, check and balance, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, right. Double checking, making sure. I think that maybe tell me a little bit about each one of those scanners are actually independent, correct? It's
That's
not
correct.
Like a big network sort of a thing. So
oh,
that
absolutely.
Is a security measure against hacking?
That's correct. No, the scanners are totally independent. In fact, the V drive is what we refer to it. It's basically a USB drive. The V drive is in the scanner itself under a lock and another seal. There's probably five total seals on the scanner itself. Just one machine. Each of those, that is and that's only broken at the end of the election night. There was one time where there was a situation and we had to get a court order from a judge in order to, because they had set up the wrong scanner for early voting. And so we had to go to a judge and actually get a judge to give us a court order so that we could party parity, go out to the machine and shut it down and to remove the ballots out of there and put them over in the proper scanning machine. It was very interesting.
I'll bet.
It's only happened once out of my 5 elections so far.
Yeah.
Now, it's also important to point out, these machines are never hooked up to the internet.
No.
So
no.
They cannot be hacked in that way.
They are not. No.
I think that's a myth.
Yeah, it is. But
totally,
I mean,
stand alone. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Even if somebody were to try to stand in the room thinking that they would be able to gather the information, it's not possible. Mm-mm. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, unless you took the V drive out of that machine and put it in some device, but you can't do that because it's under a key, and nobody else has the key. There's one election officer that has the key and then the seal. And so it's not possible.
Yeah, it's locked down.
It is so safe. I love that. You know, speaking of myths that are running around out there, would you like to address who is able to vote and what type of ID that you need to be able to vote?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yes, definitely. If you are a Fayette County resident and you are a registered voter, if you're 18 years of age by November 3rd of this general election, if you are a United States citizen, and I'm going to look at Gilda to jump in if I'm missing something here. But
right. So a United States citizen,
right?
A resident of Kentucky,
right?
A registered voter before the deadline, at least 18 years of age, mm-hmm. and you have a picture ID, preferably your driver's license, like a government-issued picture ID.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what it takes.
Right.
So, and you have to sign to say that you are all of those things before you're even allowed to move forward in registering to vote.
That's correct. In the poll pad, you will produce your ID, your form of ID, and you can bring a passport, and mm-hmm. Or there's military ID is also allowed. And once you do that, then the poll worker is going to ask you to verify your address. If that address that you speak out of your mouth doesn't match what's in the poll worker in the poll pad, then that will be questioned, and that they will be pulled aside and questioned about that.
Okay, so double check your registration, people. If you've
moved,
double check it regardless. Yes, just go in there and make sure everything's okay. Right. So, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So no, we do not have non-citizens or illegals or anything else voting in our elections.
That's correct.
No, yes. And nationally, the occurrence of that is very, very low.
Oh, I know. The research is extremely clear, and yet people are still throwing it out there. So that's why I wanted to just go over it one more time.
Yeah. Now, I have a question about poll watchers and what they can do and where they can be. They probably aren't could they be hanging out by the polling place, or it has to be outside the polling place?
Well, we have two kinds. We have poll observers, which is just someone who can watch. And then we have poll challengers, and they sit closer where they can hear people checking in, and they can object to somebody. Maybe they think they don't live there, or for whatever reason they object to that voter, and they can say something. The voter can still vote. They fill out a form saying that the challenger objected, and then it goes before the Commonwealth attorney to investigate. But yeah, there's two different. We also have people that like pollsters that like to ask, who did you vote for? But that they have to stand outside of the room, and they have to wait until the voter is done coming out. They get them on the exit.
And there are some rules around electioneering, too. You can't be promoting yourself close to the election space.
Yeah, you have to be 100 feet from the entrance to the voting location. So within 100 feet, that's electioneering, and they will ask you to move.
Yeah.
And we had some trouble with this in the primary, and we're getting ready to do some social media push to make sure we educate the public about this. You know, if candidates want to place their signs at a polling location, and I'll just use this for example, like the libraries or the schools. If the school or the library hasn't given permission to any candidate to post a sign in their yard or their grass, mm-hmm. then they're not allowed to do so.
There you go.
And so the Fayette County also has an additional rule that the right-of-way, which typically is in between the sidewalk and the curb of the street, that is the right-of-way in Fayette County. It's illegal to place a sign in the right-of-way in Fayette County, in Lexington, Fayette County. So those two things are really important to pay attention to, because if you have signs, if you have someone that sits, a house that sits next to a school or a library, and they have given a person, a candidate, permission to post their sign there, they can, as long as it's 100 feet away from the entrance of a polling location. Okay. But if the candidate hasn't been given permission, if the candidate hasn't been given permission by a property owner, then that sign still cannot be posted there.
Okay.
So that is very important for us to, everybody to understand.
And homeowners really take notice, because I have seen periodically people trying to post signs in the right-of-way areas. So that's a no-no.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Put yourself at risk.
And they're frequently left behind after an election, too. And they have to be reminded, please get those out of there. So
Right. Yeah. And just so the city, because the right-of-way law is by the city, the code enforcement office is they are the enforcement mode on the right-of-way signs. And then the sheriff's office is the enforcement agency for signs that are located within, you know, within 100 yards or in electioneering in a way that it's perceived as electioneering. So,
you know, you bringing up law enforcement there, another big thing that's been kind of floating is this whole, are we going to have armed people at our polling and all this kind of stuff. Where does all that sit right now?
Well, first of all, the public needs to know it is against federal law for any agent of law enforcement agency to be at any polling location. It is against federal law. And so knowing that that is the case, I don't think that we have to worry about that. I don't worry about it in Fayette County.
Great.
Of course, you know, that's the only thing that's our purview is Fayette County, Kentucky, Fayette County. And so I strongly believe that we don't have that problem in Fayette County. So, and I'm grateful for it. But again, just know that it is against the federal law, and it's serious business if somebody wants to, you know, to take on going to a polling location that's a military or agency.
Yeah.
They are allowed to come in uniform to vote, and then must leave.
Yes.
Okay.
They can't stand around.
So there's all this fear-mongering out there, people. So just know that if you see a police officer or someone in uniform, they're just there to vote. They're not there to collect anybody or whatever. So we're writing all kinds of good misinformation stuff with this podcast.
Absolutely. And how the votes are, they were cast. How are they counted? And who does the counting and the turnaround time for that?
So that election night, the election officers are trained to close down the polls. Part of that is taking that V drive out that holds the votes. And they come to our office. They drive in the same vehicle together, party parity. And they bring that plus other supplies back to our office. We then enter those V drives into the computer, and it tallies up the votes. And that's how we get the results.
Fantastic. If it is like a really super close race or whatever, what do you find that the turnaround time really might be? How long would we have to wait?
Well, we put them all in if it's close, it comes out, you know, at the end when we upload it to the state's website. Mm-hmm. There are laws that say if the race is within half a percentage, a state race is within half a percentage, there has to be
a recount.
We also have an audit that happens just 2 days after the election, in which we actually get assigned randomly one of the scanners from one of the locations and one of the races, and we have to do a hand-to-eye audit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Where we actually take the ballots out of the bin and check them. And we have three groups, party parity again, and they go through the ballots and check it and make sure that what the machine counted is what the human eye also counted.
And that is a videoed process. Uh-huh. And then the County Board of Election has to be in place during the whole process. And we sit, and the County Board of Election sits quietly while the staff, and some counties use poll workers, but we're lucky we have enough staff in our office that we can use the party parity. And we have staff that sits, and there's two to each table, and then there's a ballot, we call them a flipper, because they're actually the ones, they're the only ones that are touching the ballot.
Oh,
and that way, the two other people are actually tallying what they see.
Jeez. Yes. And I mean, layers upon layers upon layers, people. Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to have anything but a red pen.
Right.
So, you know, they can't accidentally mark a ballot. There's no pencils. Yeah, no. We check their fingernails and everything else. So
we really do.
Oh my goodness!
And
really?
it's not like 2000 where you were trying to look at the butterfly ballot in Florida.
Yes.
And kind of intuit what would they mean to do?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot different now.
No hanging chads either.
No hanging chads. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
We're not even allowed to use that word in our presence.
Yeah, it's a lot. And you said there's eight people full-time on your staff, right, Susan?
That is correct. That's correct.
How does that compare to, let's say, you know, a larger municipality like Louisville or some of the other cities, you know, in terms of...
Gosh, I don't know.
I don't know how many Jefferson County has. I mean, we have 69 total employees in our whole office. Louisville has, I think, over 300, I believe, but I do not know. But, you know, you made a good point, Alan, because in some of these small county clerk's offices, they probably only have three staff total, including the county clerk. So there's a lot more hands-on, and it just goes to show you in the smaller counties, the poll workers are even more important.
Oh, yeah.
Not that ours aren't. Ours are very important as well, but the poll workers in this more rural counties, they really need those because they really do help them to manage their elections.
Yeah, especially with all these steps and layers and layers and layers of security and whatnot. Yeah, super important.
I think something else that's kind of a unique opportunity. Right now, we actually are so lucky that we have our libraries. Lexington Public Library is such an amazing partner, and I can never say kind enough words for them to them, because they allow us to host our early voting at all six of our libraries, which, you know, are really great locations. They're not in just one spot. They're located out into the communities in the different areas, and they have just been wonderful. But we still in Fayette County have a precinct model with consolidated locations. We still use the precinct model for election day. Mm-hmm. And so what the public is going to start learning about is we're going to start transitioning to a vote center model in Fayette County. Our County Board of Election is going to start discussing this in the next couple of meetings, and we're going to present to them the financial gains of savings of what it would cost, because we have 285 precincts, and I believe, do we have 135 or 131 voting locations in the primary?
I think it was 132.
132. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. And then within those voting locations, you have your consolidated precincts, you know, where you have multiple precincts. However, with a vote center model, we could use all the schools. We could use the high schools, middle schools, and most of the elementary schools on election day, which is they're already closed on election day, so mm-hmm. that's not a, you know, no controversy there. And then we could go any of our 240,000 and change registered voters in Fayette County. They could go anywhere on election day to vote anywhere they want.
Just like the early voting. That would
That's
be amazing.
Correct.
Yeah,
because, yes.
I mean, maybe
yes.
you work across town or something.
That's correct, mm-hmm. yes.
And would that mean that you would need fewer poll workers then,
yeah.
if
yes.
we're less consolidating
half,
a little bit?
Less than half.
Yeah, yeah.
And still be able to, and perhaps maybe at that point, we've talked about this, is that maybe we can pay a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
which would be wonderful. So we'd probably still want to have 400 or 500. I think we use 75 election officers for the 6 libraries compared to 950 plus for the 285 precincts.
You know, that makes a whole lot of sense, too, just as, you know, if people are looking at, you know, transparency in government and using your tax dollars effectively, that sounds like a really good model for
yes.
multiple reasons.
Well, and Fayette County actually is in the minority because there are over 70 counties in Kentucky that have already gone to the vote center model.
Okay.
And so I feel like that we need to move with the times.
Yeah.
And allow people more convenience to where they want to vote.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people like to go into their precincts. I don't want to take that away from people like to go and they like to see their poll workers. And I mean, it's kind of a friend type atmosphere. But when we talk about the money, the monetary amounts, I think are going to blow people's minds.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
And the convenience on your way to work, on the way to the doctor, or if you worked all day, you don't have to rush to get back to your precinct. Mm-hmm. You can go to the closest one to work. So maybe more people get chances to vote.
Do you think that we'll ever see more early voting? Because there are other states where you can take the entire month to cast a ballot.
You know, we used to have the in-office voting that was 30 days. And after the COVID, they changed it to 6 days in office and added the 3 days of early voting. So I don't know that they would extend that any further. It doesn't look like they might go that way.
I'm actually pretty proud of Kentucky for sticking with the early voting and whatnot, because there were some people who wanted to get rid of all of it. So
right. I think that, you know, we're very fortunate in Kentucky. We have a great Secretary of State, Michael Adams. He does a great job, and I do appreciate and value working with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's been lots of different conversations during legislative time sessions where we talk about different things that to try to improve our elections. And that's the one thing I love about Kentucky is that the Kentucky County Clerks Association, we are involved heavily with the legislative session, and we always have a continuous improvement bill for elections every session, and sometimes it's more robust than not, but we, Kentucky County Clerks Association, has say so, and we collaborate with our legislators as far as making sure that they're thinking through things. We're the ones that handle the processes, mm-hmm. and they're just passing the laws, but we want to make sure that they are thinking through, well, if you were to implement this. Now, how is that? First, how is it going to be implemented? Is it possible? Or is it going to further complicate the issues? And I love that we work so well together with our legislators to make sure that we continuously try to make improvements to it.
Well, that's a healthy democracy for you.
It is.
So is that who would make the decision? Who would make the decision to move Fayette County to a vote center model?
That is actually on a County Board of Election initial review, and so the County Board of Election will discuss that and make a decision about that, and then when it comes time for us to send in our vote plan to the State Board of Election and the Secretary of State, then we would submit that to them, and then in essence they would be the final determinant whether that it was approved or not.
Okay.
And so this would not affect this upcoming election,
no,
but
right.
but the gubernatorial for 27.
Yes, it's possible.
Yeah.
We're hopeful.
Okay.
We are really hopeful.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that could be some big changes.
I was going to say, we'll have to keep them posted. Keep everybody posted.
There we go.
In here.
We've got a podcast about this very stuff, so we'll be on your phone.
Well, the other good thing to know and understand is there's also other additional equipment that is going to be mandatory for us to be able to go to that. So there are some costs that we're going to have to look into to make sure that we can. I feel like that it's going to be possible, but there are some things that we still have to step through and make sure about. But that also would go to a print on demand, which is everybody's ballot would be printed on demand. And so the fact of what Gilda was talking about earlier about having all of the pre-printed ballots with those where you tear them off of the, that would go away. And then that actually would be a better way and a more efficient way for you to not have the mix up of the ballots.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's going to require more printers, but also it adds to the security as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Wow.
I love these when you learn so much.
Same. and we've busted some myths today.
I know.
We've kind of laid it all out and, what not to fear about the upcoming election in a way.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Have we missed anything, ladies? Is there any other myths that you'd love to bust or anything that you would really like for all of our voters to know?
I think something also to know in Fayette County, there are three ballot questions that are going to be coming. Their charter questions. So there's also a constitutional amendment, I believe, that will be on all ballots across the state. Just make sure that you take time to look up your sample ballot and read those and educate yourselves. That is just as important as reviewing the candidates as well. I think that's very important. The other thing is, as I know Gilda and I talk about this a lot, is if you have a loved one that has a hard time standing in line, if they have some medical issues or if they're in a wheelchair or something and they can come to our office. We have 6 days of early voting. It's absentee with an excuse, but they could come to our office, park in the Helix garage, walk straight into our office, and walk right down the hall, and they don't have to wait in a long line. So, and those days actually are October 21st to the 23rd, and October 26th through the 28th, 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And there are excuses that they would have to, they're qualifying excuses, but they can go to our website, fayetteklerk.gov, and they can look up under elections and look at the excuses. But you'd be amazed at the number of people that could actually come to those 6 days and such an easy and not have to stand in line just to come in and vote, cast your ballot. So
that's really good to know. And I know we do have another deadline that's a little earlier, to request for absentee if you're literally going to be, you're deployed overseas or going to be out. That's September 19th, correct?
It is.
It starts September 19th. It's the first day they can order an absentee ballot, and it closes on October 20th.
Ah, okay.
So they have 30 days to order their ballots.
Good to clarify.
Well, that, and I also want to put a push here because we have the one ballot box, and people wonder why we don't have multiple ballot boxes. The state law says that the ballot boxes have to be under camera 24/7, and we have to go every day to retrieve any ballots from that ballot box. So we have the one ballot box that's sitting right in front of my office, actually on our sidewalk, and so at 162 East Main, and it will not charge you any postage. Just go and drop it in that one ballot box, and you know that will make it into our office. And I know that there's concerns with the ballots getting to us if you mail them. Make sure that you allow at least 2 weeks before election day that you mail it at least 2 weeks if you must mail it, because those, we want to make sure that we get it and we can process it for you. We go and pick up at the latest possible time, but prior to 6 p.m. on Election Day. We get everything we can. We get everything out of the ballot box in front of our office, and we get it from the post office so that we can capture every single ballot that we can have in our possession at 6 p.m. on Election Day. So,
excellent.
Back to what a voter should, what kind of homework a voter should do. Obviously, looking, as you mentioned, the constitutional amendments and things of that nature, can they go to your website and look at a sample ballot?
Yes, please. Yes, visit our website. It'll tell you what candidates are running, what the questions look like exactly, and soon the sample ballots will be on there. They're not on there yet because it's not built. But yes, real soon they'll be on there and they can see their specific ballot.
Last day to register, October 5th.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
October 5th.
We were throwing out some dates.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, last day to register.
But yeah, it's exciting. This can be a little bit of a monumental election season. So well, please, everybody, be making your plans to get educated, yes. Have a party, and
make sure your address is updated.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Make sure, and then make sure that that you bring your photo ID of which, whether it's a driver's license or just a Kentucky state ID or your passport or military ID, bring that with you. And
where are we on student IDs?
Yes, we can take student IDs.
Okay.
Any of the universities, good. We can take their IDs.
Yeah, I'd heard there was some question during the session, but I wasn't sure where that landed. Good deal.
Yeah. And if you have questions, don't hesitate to call our office.
Yep.
But we have a brand new website. We launched it at the first of this year, and it is a very robust website with lots of information.
Yes.
So please make sure that FayetteKyClerk.gov. We have recently moved to the .gov website because it's more secure, and we also have recently moved to ky.gov emails because those are more secure as well. So we're also making improvements in our office to make sure that we can stay safe so that we can be the best advocates for our community members.
Well, and I just have to throw in there that I'm for those of us who grew up with typewriters and whatnot, the font is actually the old typewriter type of font on the new on the new website, and I just was entertained by that.
Oh, I love that. That's the first compliment. I think that some people have not taken too kindly.
Oh,
but I appreciate that. We wanted it to have the view to have the appearance of it being where the like the old records where they're kind of jagged edged,
right.
and we did get to go to that, and it does look cool. So I can't say
just
I'm
think
not
of it from
of it.
There. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And you can't please everyone, you know. Anyway, so but it's great, and as you mentioned, it is robust.
It is. And it, you know, in the past on Election Day, has been tricky. With the old website, and so now we don't have to worry about any tricky or lack of access on Election Day going forward. So
nice.
And there's plenty of videos too. There's a video on vote centers,
yes.
So you can see what it looks like to be in a vote center. There's a video on how to do your absentee ballot, how to pack it all up in the right order and sign the right spots. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah. Oh, very
that's a
cool.
good stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just another thing this just reminded me when Gilda was saying this is when we, being the County Board of Election and our staff, party parity always, when we're processing absentee ballots, sometimes we'll have a question about whether that someone's signature is valid. And here lately, we've been trying to make sure that, you know, very closely that the signatures match up, and we take into consideration the person's age. But I know that sometimes the voters, we will ask them to verify that it is their signature, and people get upset by that. But I want the public to know that that we're doing that because we're wanting to make sure that they are, that is them, and that our voting and everything is transparent and safe and secure and the integrity. So it's interesting. I didn't expect people to get upset when we were verifying somebody's signature, yeah. but they do. But just know that it's us being an advocate for them.
It's another, yet another yes. security layer Absolutely. That is in place. That's marvelous.
Yes.
And the signatures generally come from the driver's licenses, right? Correct? That they're
yes,
going to compare,
most of them
compare
do.
Against?
But we also compare if they signed in the application to register to vote.
Okay.
If they don't do it online, if they do the paper copy, their signature's on that, and we can compare it to their registration.
I've had a couple of people say, I signed my name different, like different times. Yeah. I can't remember. I don't know which one they're going to compare it against.
And you know, the more times that we have the digital signatures on the poll pads or the pads, mm-hmm. you know, those signatures don't look like what we sign with a pen.
No.
Right.
And so it's important that we try to make sure that all of those signatures out there are...
Yeah,
I guess it's not like having a doctor's signature where it's scribbly, you know. But yeah, it's important that we are able to verify that because we really do take that very seriously.
Right. So, well, you have been a fountain of information. We're so excited, Gilda Walters and your team. Thank you so much for all that you do, and Susan Lamb. You are a gift to our community because I love how collaborative you are and how what an advocate for voters that you are.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be in this capacity. You know, our community is very important, and and this is a very important right that we all have, and I want everyone to be able to have the opportunity to express that right. It's so important.
Yeah. We need to bring these ladies back in when we get closer to the election. What do you think?
I'd love to if you'd be up for it. I don't know. You may be crazy by that time, but if you're up for it, please, we'd love to do it.
It's amazing how well that we work as a team and that, you know, we make sure everybody's doing okay and we check on each other. And, you know, it's a lot to manage. I mean, it is. And so... but, yeah, if we have an opportunity, we'd love to come back out. And, you know, anytime we have the opportunity to tell the community, every single time you talk about something, if there's something else that you learn, then that's always the way you've got to continue to try to strive for that and never stop.
Right.
Oh, and circling back, poll workers, you need more.
Yep. Yes.
And so
last call to action.
Yeah. Last call to action
up.
Here.
So 859-255-VOTE.
859-255-VOTE.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so how many, you said 1,100, so how many are you looking to restock with right now?
So we start with everybody who served in May. Because they're assigned for the whole year, so for the two. So we check with them first and see who's coming back and get them in place, and then we start to fill all the gaps.
But how many do you need now?
I'm not sure. They just now started to trickle in the emails about whether they're available or not.
Cool.
So we'll know soon.
Well, the other thing is that we have a list of alternates. So you have your designated precinct workers, the poll workers that are registered voters in that precinct, but we also have alternates. And, you know, prior to the primary, this was part of our problem. We had already exhausted and had to utilize all of the alternates prior to election day. And then when we had people not showing up on election day to work the polls, we were down, 54 or 57?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
very important, the commitment part.
Yeah,
is.
Because, you know, somebody can get sick, emergencies happen, all that kind of stuff.
You have to have
a full bench, right?
Yes. You do. And having enough, and actually, I think Gilda shared this with me back, I don't know how many elections ago, we used to have 50 Democrats and 50 Republican alternates, and then they moved it up to 75 from each party, and now we said that we're probably going to have to strive for 100 from each party.
Wow.
And That's yeah. hard, and it's hard because the percentage of Democrats and Republicans in Fayette County, we're heavy Democrat percentage, so it's harder to get the Republicans, but they're just as important. We have to make sure.
Where do the independents fit in all that? I mean, that's the fastest growing electoral.
Yeah, that's group. True. And they can serve. We just have to make sure we have opposites. The two judges have to be of opposite party. The clerk and the sheriff have to be of opposite parties. Yeah, mm-hmm. So they can be independent election officers, yes.
Right. And we want everybody to feel like that they can be a part of it. It's an exciting day.
It is.
It's an exciting process. And for anybody that nerds out about unique processes, this is your cup of tea.
I mean, oh, yeah. For you guys, it's the Super Bowl.
It is.
Yes.
And for us in the media, it's also
there
the Super
you go.
Bowl.
Yes.
You really
yes.
want to yes. talk about it. It's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 We want to thank you guys for coming in again. We'll be back very soon.
Yes, indeed. I think we're going to ramp up and go for twice a month. Come this fall, because this is the hot season, right?
It is. Very important.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So we will see you next time on Voting Matters.
You've been listening to Voting Matters, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Voting Matters from the podcast page at wuky.org. We also have links from the organizations and guests mentioned in this program. See you next time for Voting Matters.